Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Songs on Air with me, Russell Neal. In this show, I interview songwriters and we talk about their music and music generally. And today I have with me the wonderful Cassandra Oscar. Welcome, Cassandra.
Hello, Russell. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's great to have you here. Would you like to start by telling the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, my name is Cassandra Oscar. I'm a singer, songwriter, and composer from Sydney. I've been writing music for a very long time, and I write music across all genres, but I do focus my performances on jazz. So you'll find a lot of my jazz music online, but there's also some classical piano and sort of folk acoustic, and you name it.
Cool, sounds great. Lots of different music to listen to. Excellent. When did you first get involved in music, either playing or listening to even, or where did it all start?
So I remember listening to jazz growing up. My mum is a massive jazz fan, so that was a huge influence. I have a really vivid memory of my sister learning the piano, and I remember looking over her shoulder at the keys and just knowing that I wanted to do that. And my mother saw that level of interest, and I was very fortunate to be able to have piano lessons. It was a bit later than other kids, so it was sort of in high school. A lot of kids were learning in primary school. So I had some good training on the piano, and then I moved to guitar in my 20s and, really developed my love of composing and songwriting. Really from the beginning, I knew that I didn't really want to play other people's music. I knew that I wanted to share my own thoughts and feelings through music. So that was always a strong focus.
All right. So a lot of your early influences were jazz. Which artists in particular were you drawn to?
A lot of the classics like Ella Fitzgerald, Louis Armstrong. So then there were, my mum loved the traditional jazz. So there was like Glenn Miller and those sorts of people. My favourite is Oscar Peterson. So some of those people, Keith Jarrett. I love that sort of music as well.
All right. And when did you start performing in front of people?
So I think that was, in my 20s, I knew that I really wanted to get confident on stage in my own right. So I would go out as a solo artist and I would do open mic nights at least once a week. And I remember just being so, I have such a clear memory of the first time being on stage and I could not look at the audience. I was shaking. I was just staring at my hands playing the guitar. And just slowly but surely that confidence built. It takes a while, I think, to really, well, I can only speak for myself. I really, just started to feel much more confident looking at the audience and really feeling like we were in it together. It's not so much me. It's not really about me in a way. I see music as a form of communication. So in a way, it's information exchange. So I see the audience as very much part of that. I know it's not a conversation, but I guess in my mind, I feel like it is, the way that, when I look into their eyes, I feel that feedback. So that's how I see it.
There is an element of two-way communication. It's sort of being obviously driven by the performer, but the audience is there to respond to it or not as they see fit. I suppose it's a measure of your success, the extent to which they do respond.
Yes, that's right.
Although sometimes it's got absolutely nothing to do with the performer. If the people in the audience are wanting to talk to each other, then
there can be nights like that.
Where you just think, am I even here? Can you hear me?
That's right.
Yes. All right. So, yes, you started doing open mics. And when did you start recording your own songs?
Well, pretty much straight away, I knew I needed, like a demo. So I didn't know anyone in the jazz world. I was actually at a jazz open mic and the band responded well to my material. We played about four songs or so that night. And I was chatting to the drummer after that and I asked him if he could help me pull a jazz band together for my recording, and he did, and I had excellent musicians on it. And I know someone that you know very well, Russell John Maddox. He
All right.
plays the double bass on these tracks that we're going to listen to in this hour.
Yes.
But I must say, on one of the tracks, My Situation, Brett Hurst plays the double bass on that one, just to make sure he gets the credit for that one. And so, yeah, I had Michael Bartolomei on piano, very well-known Sydney piano player, and he also had the recording studio as well. And so Paul Joseph on drums, Phil Slater on trumpet as well. I can't miss him. He's a legend. And yeah, so that's how I met them and recorded my music. Yeah.
All right. Well, how about we listen to one of those tracks that you recorded then?
Sure.
Which one would you like to hear first?
Well, look, the one that, still gets requested the most today, and I know you've heard it countless times as well, Russell, is Jazzy Cat. It's just one that people
Okay.
respond well to. So I think
Yep.
that's a great place to start.
My phone just went off and I've got a message here from John Maddox.
Oh, there you go. How amazing is that?
All
Sure.
right, so this is Jazzy Cat by Cassandra Oscar.
Bitty cat, and he's driving me up the wall. He won't stop with a frisky act, he won't sleep at all. I got a little itty bitty cat, and he's driving me around the bend. I trip over him once an hour, he's no man's best friend. He's got to go before I crack, but I haven't got the heart to send him back. He's got to go before I crack. Send him back. Ew ah, the lady's gonna say she got a problem with a frisky cat. You don't have no name. Ew ah, the lady's lost control. She got a problem with a crazy cat. You don't got no soul. He's got to go before she cracks. But she hasn't got the heart to send him back. Ew ah. And I think he could be a hitman or a spy. He comes across as clean and sober, but the whiskey's dry. He goes walking with the midnight ladies, and he brings home all the strays. I keep begging, won't you love me? But he won't be fazed. He's got to go before I crack. But I haven't got the heart to send him back. He's got to go before I crack. But I haven't got the to send him back. Kitty cat, a little white fat man, piece of trash. I don't got no peace with that, cause he really, really ain't that kind. I go walking in the sun, I go walking everywhere. He don't really wanna know, and he don't really care. He's got to go before I crack. But I haven't got the heart to send him back. He's got to go before I crack. Sentimental girl.
right, that was Jazzy Cat by Cassandra Oscar. Fantastic song from her. I'm interviewing Cassandra in the studio here at Radio Northern Beaches 88.7 and 90.3. And this show is called Songs on Air, and I'm Russell Neal. Yeah, Cassandra, you were telling us about the musicians on that track.
Yeah, so I had John Maddox on double bass, Michael Bartolomei on piano, and Paul Joseph on drums. And I was actually really fortunate to have Phil Slater on trumpet for that one. So that was a real privilege as well.
Yeah, great track. What made you write that song? What inspired you?
It is actually inspired by a true story. I was living, well, actually I was friends with her first. Then at some stage we did live together. A friend who had been given a little kitten. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever lived with a kitten, but they can be very active little creatures. And yeah, it was just absolutely a very energetic little creature. And I remember her just, you know, having a bit of a laugh about, yeah, just the her world being sort of turned upside down by this beautiful little creature. So it's kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of song about this little sort of energetic little cat. So and then of course the second verse, as you heard, it sort of goes off on a whole tangent, and you don't know whether the singer is talking about whether is it a man or is it a cat or what is it. But anyway, regardless of what it is, people have always loved that song, which I'm really grateful for.
Well, yes, it's a great song, and all the cat people in the world are going to love it, aren't they?
That's right.
Let's talk about songwriting generally. What motivates you to write a song?
I've just always had melodies in my mind. I remember I was humming out loud one day and my partner at the time said to me, "What are you singing?" And that was when I sort of realized for the first time that not everybody has melodies going on in their head all the time. I just thought it was normal. So I very much have, sometimes I get full, complete melodies that just are so persistent, and it's so wonderful these days with iPhones, you can just quickly get the melody down into your phone. Sometimes it might be just one line, and then it might take a lot of work to build that up into a song. And it's actually only in recent years that I've realized that both are legitimate. I think there can be a false belief out there that if it doesn't come quickly, then it's not a good song. I mean, that can be a line of thought that people have. That's not true. One of my most popular songs now is one that I've really labored over. And it was a week when I did not feel like writing music, because I write music weekly. I make sure I treat it like the gym. I make sure that I actually do it as a priority, regardless of whether I feel like it or not. And lyrics, again, in the past, I never used to think that I was a lyricist. And there's just so many false beliefs we have, I think, as human beings, you know, and we make up our mind, oh, I can't do that. And turns out, because of that weekly practice I was doing with it, turns out, I feel my lyrics have developed, you know, quite well, particularly recently. So lyrics I store in Google Docs. That's a really good system for me. So I can access them from my phone or my computer at any time, and they're organized, because I'm sure you've had that experience, Russell, where it's like, you know, you've got a great verse of lyrics, but where on earth did I write those down? I don't know if you've had that experience, but yep. I've had to make sure I have a very solid system, because I just don't want those things to happen.
Yeah, I'm not the most organized person in that regard, but I know exactly what you mean. I've got some old songs that I will remember this. Oh, I've got that song. I didn't finish it. I wonder where I've got the lyrics for it, so I could go back.
Yeah, oh, it's so easy to do. And
And you get people like Dylan and Joni Mitchell who keep notebooks of things they say and things people say and ideas they have.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's great. But how do you then find something in those notebooks? Go back through and try and find that lyric that you know you wrote down 6 months earlier or heaven knows when. But, you know, then you've got to find it.
That's right.
So, yes, a good cataloguing system can be very helpful.
Absolutely.
And with the music as well, Oh, like Paul McCartney, for instance, he started using his phone to put little fragments on that he thought of, but he said he never goes back through them. But then he's so creative, he just makes up something new anyway. So
I tend to, every 6 months I'll have a session where I go back through them and I get rid of the ones I don't think have potential, and I try and capture some of the ones that I do like.
Oh,
So,
that's, you are
yeah.
very organized. That's amazing.
I do have that side to my work, which I'm grateful for, and I do try and utilize that to, to push the business side of music, because it is to me very much a business in some ways. Yeah.
How about we listen to another song? But you've raised a point about music as a business, which I'd like to come back to after we've listened to another song. Which one would you like us to play next?
Oh, well, speaking of business, why don't we play 2 o'clock blues? The idea for
Okay.
this song is that, if you've ever been in a 9-to-5 job, there can be that time in the afternoon, which can be a little bit of a downer when, still a few hours till the end of the day and you're still hard at work. And so I guess it's a bit of a fun song around that time in the afternoon.
All right, this is 2 o'clock Blues by Cassandra Oscar.
To be two, and it's too early. I got jobs to do, I got games to play. I got a lot of work left in my day. I gotta make it to the end. I gotta think of something new to change my attitude. It's true, I think I got the 2 o'clock. I got some people waiting on a line. They don't wanna talk about Roberta Flack. They're only doing business all the time. And I'm a little bit afraid that I'm looking all around at you, trying to find something to use to get me through the 2 o'clock blues. I'm not talking about 2 in the morning when you probably should be sleeping, but you're having fun. No, I'm not talking about 2 in the morning when you probably should be sleeping, but you're having fun. I'm talking about the day when you're working 9 to 5, trying to keep yourself alive, but time keeps bursting on your bubble.
That was 2 o'clock Blues by Cassandra Oscar. I'm interviewing Cassandra Oscar on Radio Northern Beaches on my show Songs on Air. My name's Russell Neal. And Cassandra, yes, that's a song about getting through the day, I guess the work day when you've got a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
We touched briefly on music as a business before, and I wanted to explore that a bit more. Are you a full-time musician at the moment, or do you have a day job as well?
So my situation varies quite a lot. I've done a lot of contracting work in marketing, so that's very useful in terms of my music business as well. So it changes. Sometimes it's part-time, sometimes I'm temping, sometimes it's full-time. So yeah, it changes.
All right. Well, the purpose of that question was to say, are you attempting to make money from music? And if so, How are you doing it? I know you do some busking, don't you, to start with?
I was doing busking. I think that's a great way to build your catalog. Look, my personal belief, having done lots of different types of gigs, I think that's some of the most terrifying work you can do is putting your equipment down in the middle of the street, getting out your guitar and singing. I mean, I really feel if you can do that, you can do anything. Yeah. Well, that was my experience. So am I trying to make money from music? Yes. I have a long-term strategy. I'm trying to utilize different channels. I'm even at the moment looking at developing some merchandise. And yeah, I mean, I'm very realistic about it as well. So, you know, I do have other forms of income to answer your question, but I'm heavily into social media and I'm lucky because I actually enjoy it. I know a lot of musicians don't enjoy it. And I certainly understand that side of it as well because they want to focus on their creativity. But yeah, so I'm doing like at the moment, and I've just started to get into TikTok. I've been studying it for a few years to because it's so different to the other platforms. But now I'm doing daily TikToks and I am seeing that translate into streams across my, you know, my music. And it's just a lot of fun too. And yeah, so I'm quite into the social media side of it. And yeah, the goal is to take it as far as I can for sure.
Okay, well, would you mind sharing a little bit about TikTok with us? Because I've got a TikTok account, but I don't use it and don't really know what
Yeah,
to
I'd
do
love
with it.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think because, you know, and like I've done professionally, I've done Instagram, I've done LinkedIn, I've done Twitter back when it was Twitter. And so I've very much been in those worlds and Facebook and YouTube. But TikTok was an interesting one because they, well, this is just my experience, and it can be an individual proposition on TikTok where, you know, what works for me might not work for you because it suits my personality and my music, but it might not suit what you're offering. But generally, what I find on TikTok is they want authenticity as a number one rule. The less polished, the better. So, you know, they don't really want the makeup and the hair and the glamour that it's better for Instagram. I try and keep my Instagram quite, I see it, my Instagram is like my portfolio. So that's where if I'm networking and if I'm going to a potential venue, they go to my Instagram and it represents my brand and it showcases my music in a really professional light. TikTok is not that. It, in a way, I would say your TikTok should look like it's a bit of a mess. People want to just see authenticity. They want to see sort of like your hair up and a little bit messy. And they want you to just be yourself. And they want to see snippets from your life. Look, again, I'm not presenting myself as an expert. Like I said, I've only been posting consistently now for about a month. And I've been studying it for a couple of years before that. So I am very much in the learning stage. But I'd say a big secret to TikTok is to just have the strength to be able to leave the post there, because at first it's so tempting to go, oh my God, no one's responding, quick delete. That was probably the biggest breakthrough for me, was just learning to just leave it there, because you'd be surprised how much people might engage with it later, and just having the capacity to test different content. So like yesterday I posted two, they went really well. Today I've posted one, it's had barely any engagement, but I'm leaving them there, you know, because in a way it's helping me with my testing process to go, oh, okay, well that works. Oh, that one doesn't work, you know, and you very quickly learn. So that's a little bit about TikTok from my perspective, but yes, please don't quote me as any kind of expert or anything.
No, well, it's just one person's journey into TikTok, I guess. That's all I'm trying to find out is what your journey into TikTok has been like. And if other people want to find out what your journey into TikTok is, how can they go and listen to and watch your TikTok posting?
Oh, yeah. So my handle is cassandra.oscar. Yep, O-S-C-A-R.
Yep.
So on Instagram, it's music by Cassandra. So, you'll generally find any of my social media by searching for Cassandra Oscar.
Okay.
Look, one thing I would say, Russell, is, I mean, I even recently did, you know, I go to lots of different networking events and courses about the arts, and I was at one recently and they weren't teaching about TikTok. shock. And I thought, this really is an oversight. I think for the current upcoming artists, TikTok is a massive opportunity. It's not to be sneezed at, I would say. I think sometimes, especially older musicians might sort of think it's silly or something. Maybe they don't, but look, that's just my piece of advice on that one.
Yeah, well, I think it's very good advice. I think I've been neglecting TikTok myself, and I don't do very much on Twitter or X, whatever it's called. I think it's kind of a bit on the slide there.
I've actually started using Blue Sky now, which is similar to Twitter. It was made by the people who made Twitter. I just like the interface of Blue Sky. And I've actually had gotten 400 followers on Blue Sky in 2 months because people there are so excited and engaged to talk to each other. So they're more likely to follow you and engage with you because they're trying to build the platform. So if you were a Twitter user, you might like Blue Sky.
Okay, that's good. I'll have a look at that. Let's talk about, these recordings we're playing, you did some time ago, and you're now working on new material, as I understand it.
Yeah, like I said, I've been writing weekly, so that is quite a body of work I've built up. I will say that I do have a lot of classical piano music, and I've just been uploading that to YouTube, and it's actually some of my most popular work. So if any of the listeners like just classical, they're not very long pieces, they can go to my YouTube channel, which again they'll find by searching for Cassandra Oscar. And also SoundCloud, I have music on there too, different music. Anyway, you can go and find all my channels, just search for my name in Google, really. But look, in terms of the jazz, I have written a new jazz album, and yeah, I'm just in the process of sourcing funding for that, but I don't think it's too far away. So there will be a new album coming out. So yeah, I'm very excited about that.
All right. So if people want to make a donation towards your new album to help you make it, where can they do that?
Oh, that's a very good question. I will add a link to my, in all my social media, there's a link to my Linktree. I think many of the listeners will know what a Linktree is. It's just in the bio of any of my social media. I'll put a donation link in there, and then any donations would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, great. We'll put all that in the posts about this interview as well. So if they go into Linktree and find Cassandra Oscar, they'll find all these different places. Is that the best way to do
So what they would do is go into any of my social media channels, and in the
it?
bio, you know how there's like a link in the bio? That is my link tree, and then there'll be a link in there.
So, all right, let's listen to another song, one that you have recorded. And hopefully we'll be able to have you on again in a while and listen to the new songs that you haven't recorded yet. But all right, which one would you like to listen to next?
All right, why don't we slow things down a bit? We'll play this is a song called My Situation. This is one I actually put on TikTok the other week, and I was so surprised by I got a bunch of new followers, and people were asking where they could stream it and things. So this one, yeah, landed well with the TikTok crew a few weeks ago. So this is called My Situation.
All right, this is My Situation by Cassandra Oscar.
Peeling labels, feel unable to get from here to the outside table tonight. I should be talking, cool cat walking, feeling good about the points I'm chalking tonight. But I don't feel like pretending. Upon the setting sun, or maybe on my own delirium. situation. This is just the way it is. I don't mind the bills. I don't mind the bills. This here is my situation. This is just the way it is.
All right, folks, that was My Situation by Cassandra Oscar. I'm interviewing Cassandra on this show, Songs on Air, on Radio Northern Beaches, 88.7 and 90.3 FM. My name's Russell Neal, and that was My Situation. And what was the motivation behind that song?
Oh, that's a good question. I was actually just sitting at a friend's party one night, and yeah, I don't know if you ever get into that mood where you just, yeah, I just wasn't really feeling very social, I guess. And that was my situation. So
right.
That's really, really what it covers. And I think the reason it went well on TikTok is people relate to that feeling where it's like maybe you're at a work social function and, yeah, you're just, you know, it's quite laborious to kind of get into the mood of it. So it was that sort of thing.
Right. And that was recorded with the same musicians as the other tracks?
Yeah, the only change for that one was we had a Brett Hurst on double bass. I think John wasn't available the day we recorded that one.
Right. Very fine. And you've done many, many gigs over the years. What are some of the more interesting places you played?
Yeah, look, so I've been really lucky to have some pretty amazing opportunities over the years. So the Opera Bar was definitely a highlight. We had Clayton Doley on Hammond organ for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Manly Jazz Festival was another highlight. I'll never forget, yeah, the interest in my music after that was very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Bondi Icebergs did a couple of gigs there, and the Art House and the Vanguard. So, yeah, it's been very exciting.
Fantastic. And yeah, and what are your plans for live performances at the moment and into the near future?
Yeah, I've just had a run of shows, which has been really cool. I played on Cockatoo Island, which I've never played there before,
mm-hmm.
and a wonderful bar in the city called Since I Left You.
Mm-hmm.
Just a beautiful space where they have like a beautiful garden stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have some gigs in the works. So if people want to stay up to date with my gigs, they can either follow me on social media or they're all listed on my website, which is www.cassandraoscar.com.
Okay, fabulous. When you advertise these things, I often find this a problem in Instagram in particular, that you see an ad about someone's got a gig, but then when you try and find it to find out what the details were, you just go to that person's page and I can never find things from them. They don't work in terms of events the way Facebook does.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And so you go in there and you just find their pictures again, not the information they posted a while ago about a gig. So I just find that a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, they might have posted it on their story and they disappear after 24 hours. But I agree, right. The Facebook system is better for that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know a lot of people go, oh, Facebook's old hat and all that, especially younger people don't even use it. I'm like, so how do you create an event other than on Facebook? Because Insta just doesn't do that. Neither does TikTok or Twitter or any of those.
Yeah, actually, I've just started using Bands in Town.
Oh.
It's a really cool system. So you can post all your gigs on there. And the best bit, if you link your Spotify, they will then push those gigs across to Spotify. So if you go to my Spotify, you'll see any upcoming gigs.
Mm-hmm.
They push them through to YouTube. So my YouTube has all my upcoming gigs. And if anybody searches for Cassandra Oscar on Google, all my gigs will come up on there as well. It's amazing. I really recommend Bands in Town. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's another one I should look at. Okay, and everyone should look at, folks, look at Bands in Town and see if it works for you. It sounds like it's something that I need because, yeah, linking all these things together can be a heck of a challenge, can't
Oh, it is. That's what I mean. It's a business, isn't it? You
it?
know, there's no avoiding it.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's listen to another song. What would you like us to play?
So this one is called Don't Want to Go Back. So I guess it's meant to be a positive message about moving forward in life, and some memories might be not so good, some might be fantastic. You know, sometimes we leave people behind, but we always carry a part of them with us moving forward. So that's the idea of the song.
All right, this is Don't Want to Go Back by Cassandra Oscar.
My memories haven't been good. I got some that I'd bury if I could, even though I probably should. Just look at them and find out where the message stood. I could take them on until the anger's gone. I could come to understand that I'm allowed to be wrong. Let them go and let the spirit flow. I could come to understand that I was never to know. I could come to understand I'm not to know.
Okay, that was Don't Want to Go Back by Cassandra Oscar. I'm interviewing Cassandra on my show Songs on Air on Radio Northern Beaches 88.7 and 90.3. My name's Russell Neal. Please feel free to log on to my Facebook page, Songs on Air, and you can like and subscribe and whatever these things are that for that and see what's happening from week to week on this show. or you can go to Songs on Stage on Facebook as well, and that'll tell you about all my live gigs and Zoom sessions that I'm doing, which happen nearly every day of the week. And Cassandra has certainly played at some of my live gigs before now, and hopefully will again soon. So if you subscribe to my newsletter, email me at songsonstage@gmail.com, and then you'll find out where Cassandra is playing and all the other wonderful artists that play at my gigs. Yeah, so Cassandra has a few things coming up a little way in the future, so check with her socials and find out where she's playing. The best way to do that, I think you said, Cassandra, is just Google Cassandra Oscar with a C, Oscar.
Yeah, because I'm across, you know, a bunch of different social media platforms and streaming sites and things. Really, I think the most simple way for the listeners to find out more is to Google Cassandra Oscar, OSCAR, and the link should come up there.
All right, fantastic. You're listening to this interview either between 4 and 5 on a Tuesday afternoon, or it is repeated on the following Monday, 1 till 2 p.m. And if you're listening to that, you'll be ready to hear. The next show will not be an interview as such, it'll be a best of show. I'm going to add in some of those from week to week, or every few weeks, to break up the variety of the show. Anyway, thank you very much, Cassandra. It's been really great. Have we covered everything that we need to cover in this show? I think.
Yeah, it's felt like a really great chat. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's been really cool talking to you, and I love your music, and look forward to seeing you at one of my gigs soon, or getting to one of the other gigs you're doing.
I will definitely be along for a performance very soon.
All right. Well, thanks again, Cassandra, and I'll see you at a gig soon. And please connect and like and subscribe and support Cassandra and her musical endeavors. Maybe make a donation to the album she's going to make in the very near future. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Russell.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye, folks.